one foot in front of the other.
Monday to Friday, 2:30 to 4, it is the Blitz here on AM 1450 KATE. Mitch Widmeyer here with you. We go to the phone lines. He hops on every Monday. We're always thankful for his time. Mike Grimm with us, the voice of the Minnesota Golden Gophers and sports director at Minnesota News Network. Thank you, as always, for the time, Mike. We'll start on the football side of things. It was a rather ugly end of the regular season for the Gophers. They lose 31-0 to Wisconsin on Saturday. They only crossed midfield three times. They never threatened inside the 20. We tried scratching for positives after the Northwestern game. It's hard to find too many from the game Saturday against Wisconsin, correct?
Yeah, not too much. I mean, even though the defense gave up 31, I thought by and large it wasn't a terrible effort. They gave up a couple of, you know, decent runs, but I thought that was fine. That's an offense that's pretty good. I mean, they roll up yards. They were a little over their average, but not terribly much over their average. But yeah, obviously offensive woes, and it looked to me like the Gopher coaches, once it got out of hand, were ready just to end it and move on. So they themselves kind of ran the football late just to get the football game over. There weren't many positives. I mean, you know, hosting a post-game show and trying to figure out the drive of the game, there really wasn't one. Trying to figure out the call of the game, we used the fumble, you know, the recovery, and then they went backwards from that. So there just wasn't a lot, and I don't want to be too trite in it, in that it's, oh, you know, maybe the bright spot is it's over, you can move on, look forward to the future, try to brighten your day, but that wouldn't be that respectful to the seniors who are done, and obviously we're trying. And it's hard because three of the last 4 weeks Minnesota didn't play very well. It's hard to look back and see some things that were, I think, good indications, even though those last three or four didn't look good indications, it's headed in the right direction. I like the tone. This staff is energetic. You know, all this stuff, they're relentless. They, I think, are headed in the right way, but it's hard right now to tell that because of the way this thing ended, and kind of unfortunate because the tone isn't as bright as what it probably should be. And when you take a step back from the 30,000-foot view, there's a lot of good things going on, but unfortunately, with three of the last four games going the way they did, it's hard to see that.
Yeah, and Wisconsin certainly, you know, fighting for a playoff spot. They're undefeated. They win that game 31-0. The Gophers overall, you mentioned three out of the last four, they were outscored 70-0 the final two games. The Northwestern game kind of surprised me. They were a 6.5-point underdog entering that game against Evanston, and they lose 39-0. I just felt like, and it had more to do with Wisconsin than it did Minnesota for me, Mike, I felt the game against the Badgers on Saturday heading into it was somewhat predictable because Wisconsin had so much to play for.
Yeah, and they're good. I mean, they're just a really good, solid team. The one thing that I will say, and I think this is true of all fan bases, and it's true of the Gophers, and that is every fan base lives in its own little world, right? So while you look and say, oh, 31-0, oh, man, that's terrible. And it is. You'd love against your rival to put up some points at least and to make it a game. But Wisconsin has done that to people. I mean, they have most of their wins are double digits. Most of their wins are 20. You know, they don't give up a lot of yards. I mean, an Iowa team that's going to a bowl game put up 66 yards total in the game against those people. So it's a pretty good team. And you're right, I thought it was kind of predictable. I thought the only way Minnesota could win that game, I think we even talked about it last week, is if it had some sort of an Iowa-Ohio State feel where Hornibrook threw four interceptions or something, and he didn't. He was really good in the game, and consequently, that's the way the game ended, in a blowout at 31-0. So when you factor all that in, a good Wisconsin team, a team very limited in Minnesota offensively especially, that's where it ends up, and they keep the X.
He's the voice of the Minnesota Golden Gophers, the sports director at Minnesota News Network, Mike Grimm, with us this afternoon here on the Blitz. PJ Fleck said after the game, it was an unacceptable performance and that there's no way this is how they will look next year. We find out yesterday Demaree Croft plans to leave the program. He'll have a couple of years of eligibility left. Do you think this move caught Minnesota and the coaching staff off guard at all?
I'm not sure. I haven't talked to them. It caught me a little off guard because I thought that the coaching staff had invested enough in him that he would give it a shot next year, but that wasn't the case. It wasn't that much after the game. Apparently, he notified the coaches that he was going to be done, and so that was it. So off they go, and what they know now for sure is whoever the quarterback is next year, may or may not be on the current roster. My hunch would be that it may not be on the current roster. He may not be. Whoever it's going to be, it will be a person who's never taken a snap of college football for the Gophers. Now, who knows how it all transpires. This is a time of year where guys transfer, and the Gophers did have a junior college player quarterback on campus for a recruiting trip over the weekend. So somebody, it may be somebody that does have some college experience, but what we know for 100% is it will be someone who does have no experience with the Golden Gophers. So whoever takes the first snap next year, it will be his first snap wearing maroon and gold. So who knows who it'll be. The on-roster target would be the redshirt freshman Tanner Morgan, who they didn't want to pull the redshirt off of, and has had, I think, a pretty good redshirt season and practices and such. And then Seth Green, we didn't see him, which I think might be an indicator that, you know, maybe he's just not quite ready in the coach's eyes. Maybe, though, he makes some improvements here in the off season and can have a shot at the job. But my hunch would be that it's probably someone who's not on campus. And I'm sure they're going to be looking in the transfer route, and I'm sure they're going to be looking in the JUCO route, as we know that for sure, because they had a kid on campus over the weekend.
Perhaps this is looking ahead too far, but for all intents and purposes, Mike, it seemed like this was going to be a wide-open competition at the quarterback spot next year. But the thing that, again, I use the phrase caught me off guard a little bit with Demery Croft, is that he absolutely would have been a part of that competition had he stayed, right?
For sure. That was one of the main reasons they were letting him make the mistakes. And as P.J. Fleck called it, failure is growth. I think if they believed he was not going to be that guy, or at least have a chance to have some experience to work through mistakes, they probably would have at some point gone back to Connor Rota to try to win some games. I don't know if Connor Rota would have given them a better chance, because as we've talked about all year, Croft has some natural gifts that Connor Rota doesn't. And had they known in hindsight, and obviously there's no way to know that Croft would have bailed on them, you know, after the game, they may have played Seth Green just to see what they had, but they didn't, because I think they certainly felt that this kid was going to continue to grow. He obviously has shown flashes. He's 3 weeks removed from Big Ten Player of the Week. So I think from that standpoint, they thought he would at least compete. And now, obviously, he won't. He'll be someplace else.
So year one of the P.J. Fleck era is in the books. I know there are already some who are choosing to jump ship, which to me is insane after 1 year. I'm choosing to give this time and remain optimistic and patient. And you brought up some of those positives that, you know, the 3 out of the last 4 weeks, if you're looking at box scores and you're looking at final scores, maybe they don't pop up to you. But I still do think long term this thing is on the right track, which I know might be hard for some to see at this point with how the season ended.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who, you know, you're right, you got to give it time, and it's a paradox, I get it, because Gopher fans are like, hey, I've been waiting for 50 years for a championship, and now you're telling me to be patient, but yet that's exactly the very reason you have to be patient, because this isn't just a, you know, put the key in the ignition and start the car and off you go. It's you're kind of building a car here. Eventually, it will start, you hope, and eventually it will turn into something important and something meaningful, and here you go. So that's where it's at. And yeah, I think it's clouded the judgment a little bit. It'd be nice to just take that 30,000 foot view and see some of the good things that have happened. And there have been. I mean, you know, the defense was really good for the most part. They had a couple of lapses and a couple of games late, and so that clouds the judgment. I mean, I've had people and seen people tweet and text that this is the worst defense the Gophers have had in years since Tim Brewster. Well, if you look statistically, this defense was better than last year's defense, which everyone thought was really good, and obviously had a great game plan in the Washington State bowl game win. But statistically, this defense was better than last year's defense. So people just get they're out of their mind sometimes. They just get out of their mind because it's this instant gratification social media type thing, and if the coach doesn't win in year one, the guy should be fired. And it can't be that easy. It's not an easy situation, especially when, look, the Gophers, and not everyone was on board with this, but the Gophers, I think when it happened, most people were, hey, this is a good hire. P.J. Fleck was a hot commodity. And for the first time in my time here, and maybe the first time in a long time, Minnesota got its first choice. They went out, they sought a guy, he's their top choice, and 2 days later, he's their head coach. And so what I think people have to understand is when they hired P.J. Fleck, they not only hired the coach, and he's talked about it from from day one, it would be different. He said, I'm different. You're going to have to get used to me. And some of what that means is they maybe took a step or two back this year by design, even though that, you know, they maybe didn't have to in some regard. And that's all part of his deal of building a program the way he wants, the culture he wants, as he calls it, and building it up the right way. So he's always talked about he's not going to sacrifice long-term success for immediate gratification. And I thought there were a couple of times clearly that was put in play this year.
If I had you sum up the 2017 season for the Minnesota Golden Gophers football program, if Joe Schmo approached Mike Grimm in the street and said, hey, I didn't get to watch one single down this year of Minnesota football, how did it unravel? How would you summarize it? What would you say?
Well, certainly a disappointing ending. And like I said, that probably clouds everybody's judgment in terms of the direction it's headed. But I think still very promising for the future. It's going to be a big early signing day, December the 20th. Remember, there's an early signing day now with new rules. I think that's all kind of important. And it's going to be a pretty darn good class, and a full class, and a class that includes some Minnesotans, and that's nice. And then you hope those guys come in and can have an impact, maybe not right away. Quite honestly, you'd hope that they can redshirt the way he's redshirted some of these guys, and that it's a build to a point where in a year, two, three down the road, you're back in contention for a division title and someday trying to get to Indianapolis for a Big Ten title game. But in terms of describing the season, I would say, as weird as it is, and this is going to sound like a bit of a dichotomy, disappointing but promising. There is promise behind the scenes, off-the-field stuff, development stuff, and that can translate eventually into this being a winning championship-type program.
He's the voice of the Gophers, the sports director at Minnesota News Network, Mike Grimm, our guest today here on AM 1450. Let's finish up. We'll shift to Gophers hoops. Have you ever at any level of basketball seen what happened on Saturday when Alabama had to finish the last 10-plus minutes of the game against the Gophers playing 3-on-5 basketball?
No, never, anywhere. The only time I've ever seen anything close is the movie Hoosiers when Norman Dale says my team's on the floor and plays with four. That's about it. Yeah, that was a bizarre thing. We caught a little of it. I was doing the post-game football show, and we called it up on the Facebook feed, the only way apparently you could get the video of it. And we were watching it, and it was clear to me that Pitino knew that the thing was out of hand. And knew that he didn't want to embarrass anybody because they were holding the ball almost like in a delay. They knew they could get an open shot at any point. Well, what happened was, in doing it that way to try not to embarrass him, I mean, they could have done a bunch of stuff. They could have pressed. They could have cherry-picked. They could have put a guy under the basket. It could have been 80 to 40, you know, or whatever it was. But I think he was trying to grab control of a situation that was out of control and try to make it respectable to everybody. But in doing so, they were getting open shots but stalling and then missing the shots. I mean, how many open 15, 18-footers, and those are hard shots to make, and, you know, it was one of those deals. They weren't going to take it at guys to get another guy fouled out. Well, then all the next thing you know, their guy goes off for 40, and it gets to be a single-digit game. And people are losing their minds about that. Trust me, I think if the Gophers wanted to make it an embarrassment, they could have, and they could have just done some of those things I mentioned. In retrospect, I might have tried that early, you know, maybe for the first 5 minutes of the 5-on-3, just put them away and then called off the dogs. But I think Pitino, was like, hey, let's just try to manage this thing without making it a total embarrassment. And as it turned out, it ended up being a fairly competitive game, all things being equal. And I think, nationally, people probably looked at it in a negative way toward Minnesota because they let it be close. And Pitino's intent was to try to not make, you know, if he wins that game 95-52, they say, man, that was pretty unclassy to, do those things and roll up the points and all that stuff. But really, nobody can come out of that thing looking great. And hopefully we just, move on. And a huge game coming up Wednesday with Miami, ranked 10th in the country, coming to the barn.
Yeah, and the number that everyone's referencing after that is that when it went to 3-on-5, the Gophers were outscored by Alabama 30-22. But again, it was such weird circumstance. Like for Pitino, he's never been in a situation like that. And for those players, I thought Minnesota, you mentioned like they were passing it around the perimeter, and it's like a 1-2 zone look or something for Alabama. And so the Gophers could take literally any shot they wanted from like 15 feet on out. But to me, I thought Minnesota, with some of those looks, Mike, that were wide open, they looked very uncomfortable. Whereas for Alabama, when they had the ball on offense, it was like, no one's expecting anything. We have nothing to lose. And then they were chucking up some contested looks that happened to fall. It was just, it was really, really odd. And I thought Minnesota, because like you said, Patino, like, what do you do there? You don't want to run the score up and embarrass Alabama. But the players, I thought, for the Gophers, too, looked very uncomfortable, which you can't really blame them.
It was just a weird situation. It wasn't good for anybody. That's why Patino, I think, said he'll study the whatever 27 minutes of the game, and then leave it at that. Because after that, you're right, it got uncomfortable. Weird stuff happened. Sexton, I think, was his name for Alabama. He scored 40, and he was shooting threes through double teams and fadeaway threes, and somehow they were going down. And it was just a weird, weird game, that's for sure. And I bizarre. It'll never happen again, right? I mean, that will never happen again, probably. And let's hope not. And I think now you just get the win, you move on, and play Wednesday night.
It was a good win for Minnesota against a top 25 team on a neutral court. But because of the circumstance and how it unfolded, will it even be remembered as that?
Well, I guess it depends on how in-depth the selection committee goes. My hope is that, this Gopher team is good enough that they're not worried about wins like that for no other purpose other than seeding, not to get into the tournament. You know, for many years of my first handful of years here, that we were a bubble team, the Gophers were, and it was like, oh, that win against Louisville, well, that probably got them in. Well, that win against, Indiana probably got them in when they played UCLA. And Indiana was ranked number one in the regular season. So I think it could have an impact. And I think at the end of the day, the committee will probably look at that as, hey, the first 27 minutes of that game, they were 5-on-5, and the Gophers pretty well dominated. At one point had a 17-point lead, if they really dive into it. Hopefully Alabama finishes strong and finishes in the top 25, and there you would have a nice quality win on the resume, which maybe bumps you a line. I mean, they got Arkansas, who just ran UConn out of the building over the weekend. That's a road game coming up in December, and that will be another opportunity for them, as will Wednesday night, to post a couple of decent and good non-conference wins that all of that can help them come seeding purposes in March.
We'll leave on this. You've referenced it a couple of times. A really interesting matchup against Miami at the Barn on Wednesday night. Keys for Minnesota would be what in that matchup?
Well, it will be a key home game, and I'm looking and hoping from an outside perspective now, not an on-the-court perspective, that Gopher fans jump on board with this. I know, remember back when the ACC Big Ten Challenge pairings were announced and there were rumblings that maybe Louisville or Duke was going to be the matchup, and then when it was Miami, people were kind of, oh, man, Miami. And I get it. It's kind of a ho-hum. They're a good but not storied program. Well, they're going to come in ranked 10th. So I hope people get that. I hope people get out. I hope that it's a Big Ten ACC challenge that the Gophers can be proud of. Fill the barn and get it. It's a good tune-up, because when the Big Ten hits, they're going to need all the home court they can get. They're going to be expected to do a lot. And so I think this is really the start of a string of home games that will be quite important. Remember, Rutgers comes to town in December, and then they got a couple of tune-ups, and then Big Ten play starts restarts in January, and all of those games will be highly important. So we're kind of getting into it now as the month runs out.
Pre-game gets going at 7:45 on Wednesday night against Miami for the Gophers. Catch the game right here on Kate. Mike, as always, thank you for the time.
You got it. Thank you.
We've got weekend and Monday headlines coming up next.